Marcus.
Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you? Doing fine. Just got back from the barbers.
I'm sorry, you said you're stepping out.
I said I just got back from Miss Barber's.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry that I missed you all last night. We obviously miscommunicated.
I'm not sure what happened.
I waited until about 6:20, and so I just hung up the phone and then started to do what I needed to do. So.
All right.
And then this morning, after I went to sleep, you know, after everything was done, and then this morning I found out that you guys had gotten on there a little late, but I just, you know, we missed each other by a minute or two.
Right. Okay.
That wasn't meant to be.
Why?
Let's wait a few more minutes to see if somebody else comes, but then I'll start to teach.
Okay.
We're getting back into a normal schedule today, so.
Right.
Well, let's start anyway.
Okay.
We're in class 22B. You can find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix at the page. It's class 22. Revealed Wisdom, it's in row 14. Actually, it's either row 11 or row 14, and it's the second column from the left.
Okay.
Advanced reincarnation classes. And we're starting at chapter 20, section 3, titled Wives, Brothers, and Friends. And I'll start with the L'Shem Yehud. A Talmid Chacham, who stood out in his generation because of his wisdom, but he sinned and reincarnated. There are certain types of sins for which his wisdom will be hidden and not recognizable at all in the next Gilgul, the next reincarnation. Similarly, all those who learn Torah in this generation are on the level of the generation of the wilderness, with respect to whom it says, as in the days of leaving Egypt, I will show you wonders. Alluded to in the verse, behold, you shall die with your fathers, and his people will rise up, and this people will rise up. We could read both of those paragraphs as indicating the idea that all of the technological wonders that we've developed in the last 100 years, 150 years, can be considered wonders with respect to earlier generations. That's an unwritten commentary. The last verse was said by Moses. The sole root of all the people in the wilderness. The juxtaposition of this people shall rise up to the death of Moses hints to the returning of his and their souls to coming generations in reincarnation. Moses brought the Torah to the world. His entire generation was centered on Torah learning. They are therefore called the generation of knowledge. The Hebrew is dor, meaning generation, deah, dot, meaning knowledge. In general, in each succeeding generation, those who fully devote themselves to learning share their soul root with Moses. My commentary. What is a generation, and to which generation do you and I belong? Each person at the moment of birth belongs to many generations. One generation is 70 years long. One is 7 years long. There are many others in between. Each generation has a tikkun that they share. For all of us who have connected to the Zohar, our correction is to spread the wisdom of the Kabbalah. For any person who connects to the Zohar, in addition to the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah, we also have the responsibility to learn to use our intuition and our psychic abilities. We have the responsibility to prepare to receive direct communication from the Creator, similar to the level of the prophets. Actually, as we become Talmid Chachamim, as we all will, we are above the consciousness of the prophets, who received from Netzach and Hod, while we have the potential to receive from Chachma and Bina. The only issue is, will we be sufficiently pure to receive this communication? This is what is taught by our classes in the Sefer Yetzirah. Most of my students have not made that transition on their own yet. If you have the merit to read or hear this, then you have the merit to study the handouts from the Sefer Yetzirah classes, which are on the Yeshem website. These teachings are best learned with a teacher, one-on-one. Let me know when you are ready for this. Their wives will dominate them, since originally, when the mixed multitude that came out of Egypt with the Jews made the golden calf, these men did not protest. The women, however, did not want to give their gold earrings to build their calf. They therefore now dominate their husbands. I am adding, there are some amazing stories regarding the wife of Rabbi Ashlag and how she dominated him. He would refer to her in ways that would be considered less than attractive in mixed company. Yet he knew that this relationship was that of a soulmate, as described in the paragraph above. Rabbi Brandwein also had this experience with his wife and his relationship with Rabbi Berg. Look at your own relationship to realize these truths and how your relationship works in this regard. If you want to ask me specific questions about this, you can send me an email or call me directly if you don't want it to be made public. Or if you don't mind having the discussion in a public way, we can answer the questions on the questions and answers sessions. If two souls from the same root reincarnate into coexisting brothers or friends, then the two of them will be inclined to hate each other and to fight, though they may not know why. Even though they don't see their mazel, their spirit does know why. Even though we may not be consciously aware of our spiritual realities, on some level we can sense such things through something called mazel. The guardian angel that accompanies each person. And each will want to draw from the root more than his spiritual counterpart. So they will find themselves jealous of each other. However, if through divine inspiration they would see that they come from the same root, then they would come to love one another, even though they live at the same time. As we find by David and Saul, that there was strife between them, even they came from the same root. Yet David cared very deeply about Saul. However, the souls of righteous people who have already died greatly desire to rectify and bring the completion to the souls of people living in this world who come from their roots. For there is nothing more they can do to become even more complete. So jealousy is irrelevant, as the verse says, for there is no deed nor planning in the grave to which you are going. Quite the contrary, there is great benefit for them in the good deeds performed by living people who share their roots. In order to ascend spiritually, it is necessary to descend. However, once one leaves the world, there is no free will and nothing to bring one down. It requires a certain going down for a soul in the next world to relate to the living. They are very happy to do this, for it facilitates a special degree of elevation. There is a teaching by the Baal Shem Tov regarding who and what you hate and why. This section above is hinting to these spiritual laws. We are teaching this book and expect it to be approximately 50 class hours on its own. We have completed those classes, and we can do them again if you find it's a subject you can get it done. It is available through the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in the right-hand column, in row 10. That's the end of this section. Are there any questions? In section 4 of chapter 20, titled Rectification, Moses, the Generation of the Desert, and Mashiach. We have already mentioned that as a result of the sin of Cain and Abel, the souls became mixed into the klipot, and that this is called the mixture of good and evil. From that time onward, the souls have been undergoing a process of birur from within the klipot, just as silver is smelted from the dregs. Birur means separation. The negative aspects of our souls are being separated from the positive aspects of our soul. That is another description of the word tikkun, correction. This process will continue until all the souls that fell into the 248 limbs of Adam HaBliyah, Liya'al, the despicable man, are separated out from the full length of its being, which is until the bottom of the Adam de Kedusha, the man of holiness, which overlaps with the legs of Adam of the Klipah, the man of the husks. This is hinted to in the Zohar in Pikudeh. Until the feet of the Sitra Achra are elevated to reach the level of the feet of Kedusha, as it is written, on that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. The souls fell all the way down to the feet of the Sitra Achra. When they are all purified, elevated, and extracted from the Klipot, the feet of the Sitra Achra will stand head and shoulders with the side of Kedusha. This happens through the concept of olives, which Kabbalah associates with wisdom, the source power that lifts up the sparks. They are all elevated through wisdom, through the elevating mountain energy, as we find that the Torah was given specifically on a mountain. Once the separation of all the souls has been completed, Adam de Klipah, the spiritual dregs, which is only removed through good deeds, will collapse on its own and be absorbed to the point of Baal Yira'eh, not to be seen, and Baal Yimatzeh, not to be found. These terms refer to the Pesach law of ridding oneself completely of all leavening, which causes the dough to rise and is attributed to represent the rising of the ego, the root dynamic of the Sitra Achra. It must be eradicated to the point of not being seen and not being found within the heart. This vanquishes the Klipot from the world. For holiness is the life energy that results from separating from the spiritual impurity, which is called death. Therefore, they will no longer have any life and will disappear like smoke, as it says, Li hamavet lanetzach, death will be swallowed forever. Death will be swallowed forever. But this will not be until the souls are separated out. The first letters of each word combined together spell Hevel, which is Het Bet Lamed, or He Bet Lamed, actually. Hevel, which is Abel in English. Abel is Moses, who reincarnates into every generation to separate out the souls from amongst the spiritual dregs. The acronym alludes to the fact that only when all of his incarnations are complete will the Mashiach come and death be swallowed forever. This is an unwritten discussion. But on Shabbat, we do not separate the bad from the good. During the week, we separate the bad from the good. Now, what does that mean? You have a mixture of peas and carrots. You could buy it in a can. Many times people make this mixture as the vegetable that they serve at a meal. Someone comes along and he likes peas but not carrots. So can he take the carrots out of the mixture, leaving only the peas? on Shabbat? The answer is no, he cannot. That is called separating. But if he chooses to pick out the peas that he likes and leave the carrots that he doesn't like, that is kosher. That's acceptable. Now, to many people, that seems silly. The result is the same. He has a pile of peas, which he can eat. But spiritually, it's very different. Because he has unified the good, meaning the right column, while he has left the bad, the left column, in a state of lack of unity. Because if you think about, you picked out the peas because you like peas, and you put them in a pile, you created unity within the peas. But as you picked out the peas, the carrots fell where they fell. And therefore, they're separated. They're not unified. Now, if you do it the other way, where you pick out the carrots, you're creating unity in the negative. While the peas are falling where they will fall, and they're not unified. It's a very deep understanding, but it is very real with respect to spiritual aspects. I'm continuing to read. Now you can understand the meaning I'm gonna start reading where we left off. I did read this paragraph. I'm starting to read where we left off. Now you can understand the meaning of, behold, you shall die with your fathers, and this people will rise up, which is considered one of the verses that has no apparent clarity as to which way to be interpreted. However, it can be explained with the words rise up, referring to that which comes before and after them. And really, both explanations are true. The way the words rise up appears in the verse, they can neither refer to Moses, who will lay down with his fathers and once again rise up, or to the people who will rise up after he has died. This is why the Talmud has difficulty interpreting this verse it definitively. The Ari shows how both interpretations are intended, and both are true. For in the future, Moses himself will reincarnate and return to the last generation. As it says, you will die with your fathers and rise up. However, in the final generation, the generation of the desert, will also reincarnate with the mixed multitude. And this is also said by the verse, this people will rise up. Hence, there is not a single generation in which Moses does not return. In the secret meaning of the sun, the shining of the soul, rises, is born, and the sun sets. The soul dies, the person dies, the soul doesn't die. And a generation goes, and another, the same souls, comes back in order to rectify that generation. Thus the generations, this is an unwritten commentary as well, we can perceive that when someone dies, that soul has been separated out away from the klipot, away from the negative system. And so Hashem has chosen that soul, picked that soul, separated that soul, the good, from the not good. Continuing to read. Thus the generation of the desert, along with the mixed multitude, reincarnate in the final generation, hinted to by as in the days of leaving Egypt. Moses as well will rise among them, since they are all from the secret of Dot. Moses' generation of the desert and the mixed multitude, as we explained in our commentary on the Torah portion, on Shemot. This is why the verse concludes, to where they go there, which has the letters Mem Shin He, which is Moshe in Hebrew, since Moses will reincarnate with them. And this is the secret why in that generation, every Torah scholar will be dominated by his wife. They are from the generation of the desert, and the wives did not give their earrings for the golden calf, while the men did, and that thus they sinned. Shmuel says, we wrote about this earlier. In order to understand this section, one must study the ideas associated with Mashiach. Many of the understandings and statements about Mashiach have become corrupted. I have the intention to teach a series of classes about the historical development of the concept of Mashiach and help to cleanse these corruptions. May Hashem give me the strength and desire to do this for my students and the soul roots associated with my own soul roots. I will answer questions now, providing you are willing to describe your understanding of the order of the footsteps and the birth pangs of Mashiach. Without these questions, there is no vessel for these teachings. This is the end of section 4. Does anybody have any questions?
What do you mean by the birth pangs of the Mashiach? Is that
we started to teach that in the 10:30 class this morning. The birth pangs of Mashiach. It's in, I think it's row 8, but it's in the right hand column.
Is it in the recording?
Classes, it just starts it. There will be many more classes as I have time to develop them.
Is it a recording? Do you have it on a recording?
Yes, but I haven't put it up there. We just did it this morning.
Okay.
It was the class, one of the classes
okay.
We missed.
Yeah, I was over at Ms. Barber's this morning.
Right, I know.
Okay.
I understand.
Okay.
Any other
I will
questions?
Have many questions.
I know you will. I'm looking forward to
okay.
it.
Okay.
There's a handout you can read as well as the recording. So
okay.
It should be
I'll
it.
Go.
I could have it up before the end of the evening.
Okay.
Redeem section 5, chapter 20, section 5 is titled Redeeming Good. Know that as a result of Adam's sin, good and evil became intermixed. Therefore, sometimes a little of the good of the nefesh of a righteous person can be in an evil person, and a little evil can be found in the righteous person. This is the meaning of there are some righteous people who are reached by or can perform acts of the wicked. Thus you find some righteous people who sin in ways that even evil people do not. And just the opposite. Evil people can be particular about specific mitzvot all of their lives. I am adding, here's a hint to the answer as to why good things happen to bad people, and the opposite. This is why I teach that reincarnation is the only explanation to help us understand this question and its answer. From this, you can also understand the concept of a tzaddik gamur, a completely righteous person. The Rasha Gamur, a completely evil person, and the Benoni, an average person. Each one has the product of a different combination of good sparks and bad sparks. I am adding, this is taught in the Tanya, which is taught primarily in the Chabad Lubavitch organization. If there is a desire, I will teach this, but it seems to me to be duplicating the teachings of the Chabad organization. One hint to further study the Tanya begins with five levels, not three. They are the Benoni plus two Tzadikim levels and two Rasha levels, two righteous levels and two evil levels. There is no contradiction to free will. It only comes to explain people's tendencies. The final choice of one's spiritual status always remains with the person. I am adding, with all respect to Rabbi Auerbach, a person's tendencies come from the baggage that needs correction in this lifetime. A person's tendencies must be removed by Hashem, similar to the idea of hardening Pharaoh's heart, to give someone true free will. This will be done as part of the transition to be a tzaddik gamur, a totally righteous person. This is my opinion. Furthermore, the way in which one transgresses or performs mitzvahs will also depend upon the level of the sparks he has received, from which limb of the inclusive soul of Adam they have come, and whether or not they are good or evil. This will affect a person's desire to perform mitzvahs and can explain why they pursue mitzvahs more than other people. Thus, the Sefer Habahir insists that a person pursue the guilty in order to find merit for them, the one who runs after saving his own life. This is because the evil person, whom the righteous person pursues to find merit, may possess good sparks that the righteous person lacks, while he himself may have received the evil person's bad sparks. Moreover, through a loving relationship, he, the righteous person, can extract the good sparks from him and achieve completion, while giving away the bad sparks and completing the other's evil. This is the secret meaning of the righteous person takes his portion and that of his friend in the Garden of Eden. The wicked one takes his portion and that of his friend in purgatory. What could be your enemy when one is supposed to love everyone? This is also the meaning of, if your enemy is hungry, feed him bread. For it says, when you see the donkey of your enemy, who could be your enemy when one is supposed to love everyone? Hence, it must be referring to an evil person who hates God. As it says, those who hate you, God, I hate. Yet it says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him bread. Thus it means, for the sake of the good spark that is in him, which drives him to do good, feed him the bread of Torah and mitzvahs, and cause him to have merit. For the coals, that is the bad sparks within you, which you pour on his head, by joining with him, they will therefore be removed from you. The tzaddik magnetizes the spark by feeding it good, Torah and mitzvot. The tzaddik has to retrieve the sparks that really belong to his soul. Yet how can he extract the little good found in a wicked person and leave him empty? The Ari says, for the sake of the good spark that is in him, which drives him to do good, feed him the bread of Torah and the mitzvahs and cause him merit. The tzaddik magnetizes the spark by feeding it good. Even though he takes it away, he gives other sparks to the wicked person in its place. This can result in inspiring him to turn over a new leaf. This is also like what is written, the goat shall bear the sins upon it unto the desolate land. That is, the good sparks in it shall be removed, and God shall repay them to you and make you completely good, and him completely evil. For as the sages say, don't repay you, but rather he will complete you. For God, since he is good, will not mention his name in conjunction with the wicked. As it says, though the coals of fire that you pour on his head. However, with respect to good, he will mention his name. As it says, God will repay you because he does this good. Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, which can also be read as at-one-ment, is set aside for forgiveness. Part of the way it works is through this, that God looks at the good and judges in the scale of merit. He reckons that all of the sins really don't come from us, rather from the evil inclination, represented by the goats. He bears all the sins, is sent away to be pushed down the mountain. All the sins are thereby dissolved. And I am adding, much of this is taught in You Are Who You Hate. There is so much hinted in this section 5, I truly do not know where to begin. Please ask questions, either on this phone, on this call, or by email. That's the end of the section, the end of the class. Does anyone have any questions?
I'm going to review what you just taught. Go back through it because it is definitely packed with a lot of information.
Correct. A lot of questions to be asked from the information, but you have to have the background in it. It's been a while since we've read the reincarnation classes, so it may take a while to get you caught back up, but it'll happen.
Okay.
So you have a good Shmini Atzeret, a good eighth-day assembly.
Thank you.
I do expect, I'm not promising classes tomorrow night, Monday night, or Tuesday night. They may be, so check in. But for sure, we'll be back on schedule on Wednesday with the 4:30 Deep Zohar class and the 7 o'clock questions and answers.
Okay.
Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you.
Have a good week and a good holiday.
Thank you. You too, Hanuk.
Take care.
Mm-hmm.